the pen of master storyteller Archie Jeffries comes the epic saga that is Gush. Gush is based on an original idea by Archie Jeffries, the idea being to write an epic saga called Gush, which is what he did. This week's episode is entitled Episode 4, with special guest star Kenneth Branagh as the English reporter. Gush is brought to you in association with Spartos, all-in-one shampoo and conditioner for men on the go.
Gentlemen of the press, the Allied Supreme Commander of Joint Forces, General Hank the Tank Buttstacker, will deliver the 0800 Hours War Briefing.
Good morning. As you probably know, I'm heading up Operation Kick-Ass, a limited response exercise to the closing down of the oil supply to the west by Prince Saudi of Arabia.
What is the current position, General?
Okay, listen up. British Minister Foxwell Cravat and his rival American tycoon Max Pomeroy have been spared disembowelment by the Prince after the sausage incident. Thanks to the intercession of their old college friends, Lady Arabella Derbyshire, Iolanthe Diamond, and British Consul Charlie de Vere. But our intelligence is that Prince Saudi has even more wily plans afoot. Any questions?
Yes, General, sir. General. Do you know the nature of those wily plans, sir?
Detailed information on the wily plans is yet to be confirmed. But as and when the situation changes, you will be appraised of their exact wiliness. Next.
Will there be a war, General?
Well, gentlemen, this is the point where one can only hope and pray and trust in God that there will be. One final question. English reporter at the back.
My lord, what news from Mars' fiery field where bright Phoebus has yet to shake the slothful chains of peace from her sleepy bower?
I'm sorry, that is classified information. If you'll excuse me, gentlemen.
Well, this is better than that stinking jail, eh, Pomeroy?
I'm not so sure, Cravat. Now we're chained to the main outlet valve of the Transworld Araby oil refinery.
So,
it's about to be blown sky high by the American Tactical Weapons Strategic Strike Force.
How can you be so sure?
Because I told the president to do it. Right now, you and me are sitting on 85 million gallons of high-octane cooking oil that's ready to fry.
Ah, brilliant. Thanks to your stupidity, we're a human shield.
Well, turning Prince Saudi's favorite falcon into Frankfurters wasn't that clever.
Look, Pomeroy, I've got a plan.
Go on, Mr. Minister for Trade.
The plan is, we escape.
And how exactly do we do that?
Well, I usually leave the detail to my civil servants. I'm better at the overview.
I've got a plan. You pretend to be ill. When the guard comes over, I'll overpower him, get the keys to the chains. Then we'll escape through the air ventilation shafts, which lead to the main cooling outlet on the Red Sea. We'll get a fishing boat to take us straight out to the Sixth Fleet in freedom.
So, basically, it's my plan with a few frills. Okay. So, what do I do again?
Just pretend to be ill.
Right. Guard! Guard! I feel terrible.
What's the matter?
I don't know, really. It's sort of a headachey, fluey thing. I can't really put my finger on it. Just generally feeling a bit off-colour. Well, that's not very sympathetic.
God, war is hell. We've been confined to this rotten, lousy, stinking five-star hotel for a week now. Waiter, another lousy, stinking glass of champagne.
All right for you, Iolanthe, sitting drinking on your inflatable Lilo. I'm not swimming about in anguish like I am, torn between love of country and love of the man you love.
The old bearded Bedouin? You can't be serious, Arabella.
Well, I know on the face of it he may seem uncouth in her suit, but actually he went to Haileybury, which is a perfectly good public school.
You always were a snob, Lady Arabella.
Watch out!
Oh, no, it's Charlie de Vere.
Sorry for me off the water chute like that, ladies, but I'm trying to make it look as though I've just bumped into you.
You have. I think you've broken my nose.
Listen, I think we're being watched. There are spies everywhere. You see the chap over there with the beach ball? I happen to know that he's working for Mossad.
Charlie, he's 3 years old.
That's the sort of ruthlessness we're dealing with. No, I haven't got long. Swim over here and pretend to join in this game of water polo with the German trade. There's been a slight change of plan at the Foreign Office. Originally, we were going to suck up Prince Harry and let him do whatever he wanted. Now, we think we've probably got to discredit him and stop the global war.
Come on, Arabella, tackle that forward!
What I am as sneaky peekers of MI-10 need is some top-grade dirt on our friend the warmongering wazir.
Then hook the ball, I'll empty. Pass it out to the wings. Keep it blurry. Good goal, Arabella. One all.
You're asking me to betray the man who I love more than my own life.
If you wouldn't mind, it's just that there are millions of lives at stake. If you could shed some light on any personal problems the prince might have, that would be great.
I noticed his hair gets out of condition very quickly.
Yes, you're right. It lacks bounce and natural shine. If only he used Fartos all in one shampoo and conditioner for men on the go, then he wouldn't suffer from that lackluster look.
Yes, I used to suffer from the same problem. But now my hair looks good and I feel good. Thanks to Sparkus.
I've got to go now. But if either of you ladies come up with something seriously juicy on the prince, you know where to find me. On the crazy golf course.
Yes! Yes! To us! Yes! We are the champions! Today's the shallow end. Tomorrow, the whole swimming pool!
God! God!
I'm not listening.
It's serious. You've got to help me.
A man's in pain, damn it.
So far, you've had a headache, a splinter, a runny nose, constipation, and lumbago. What is it this time?
I've got a verruca.
Oh, your pathetic cravat will never get out of here like this.
It's all right for you. Overpowering the guard is the easy bit. You're asking me to lie. Me, a minister in Her Majesty's government.
Come off it, cravat. Your whole career's a lie. Right from your first maiden House of Commons speech.
Let's hear what young Cravat has got to say for himself. His late uncle held the seat for 80 years and never said a word.
Mr. Speaker, may I just say that the Labour Party really are terrible.
Good grief! He's taken the Commons by storm. There's a sea of waving order papers. Even the Speaker is on his feet throwing his wig in the air. I haven't seen a debut like this since Pitt the Younger.
BBC News. Following the sensational maiden speech by new Tory firebrand Foxwell Cravat, the leader of the Labour Party has resigned. He cited Cravat's withering attack on his party's record as the main reason behind his sudden departure. Parliamentarians are now tipping Cravat as a future leader of the Conservative Party, providing he doesn't do anything embarrassing.
Look, the house is packed. Boxwell is about to make another of his blistering broadsides.
Mr. Speaker, I think we can safely say that recent events have proved that the Labour Party are as terrible as ever. Oh, yeah. And not only are they really terrible, but they are almost as terrible as the American tycoon Max Pomeroy.
John, you're a seasoned Commons watcher. Do you think Cravat's gone too far?
Well, a week's a long time in politics, and indeed Cravat has only been in politics for a week. But now that Max Pomeroy has responded by calling Cravat an incompetent coward unworthy of high office, that puts the Prime Minister in a spot because that's an embarrassing charge for the Conservative Party. And I think the Prime Minister will tell Cravat to put up or shut up.
So what you're saying, Prime Minister, is put up or shut up?
Not really, no.
Oh. So that man on the Today programme was lying?
Yes. Typical anti-government BBC bias. Digestive?
Oh, what a brilliant choice of biscuit. Thank you, Prime Minister.
Now, much as I need creepy little chaps like you in my team, Cravat, I can't have an American humiliating a member of my government.
Quite right, Priam.
That's my job, you pathetic little worm.
So, what do you want me to do?
Sue him. Clear your name in the courts. We can't afford whips in this government. I've just bought these shoulder pads.
I'm not sure legal action is a good idea, Prime Minister.
Well, it's mine, so it must be.
Of course, I see that now. I'll instruct my solicitors immediately.
Now, I've got to be going. My bill to reshape the destiny of Britain on the world stage is its first reading at four.
Four. Hole in one. You have the crazy golf luck of the devil, Mr. Devere.
Yes, Herr Langer. We may not be able to match you at motor car production or water polo, but there are some things we British still do better than anyone else. That came from Arabella's room. Sorry, Herr Langer, I'd better go.
But we have one more hole to play.
Oh, so we have. Well, I'm sure she'll tell me about it later. Now.
You screamed, Lydia Arabella?
Yes, I did. Look, my bed is turned upside down. My drawers have been emptied onto the floor. The wardrobe's been ripped off the wall. The ceiling mirror's been smashed.
As manager of the Sahara Excelsior, may I apologize profusely for the regrettable ransacking of your rooms.
It's as if someone has gone through my belongings desperately looking for money to buy drink. But who would do a thing like that?
I can assure you, madam, that it was not any of my staff.
How can you be so sure?
Because we went through looking for money a week ago. Is anything missing? We couldn't find anything worth stealing.
Well, let's see. My passport and jewelry are in the embassy safe.
Ah, yes, of course. We should have thought.
No, it all seems to be here. My lucky Gymkhana rosette from my old pony, Mr. Glue. My first top international fashion designer award, given to me personally by haute couture legend Yves Saint Cointreau. And,
Lady Arabella, why do you look so pale? Is something the matter? Apart from the fact that your room has been trashed and your underwear is strewn all over the floor.
It's gone!
Well, don't worry. You'll remember it in a minute.
No! Something is missing. Something more precious than I can ever tell you. Charlie! Charlie!
Ailanthi, you just missed me giving our friend the Hun a little golfing lesson. It was touch and go on the Wibbly Wobbly Bridge, and I thought I'd blown it on the Helter Skelter, but I played the windmill like a dream.
Charlie, shut up! I think I may have something. I found this in Arabella's room.
What were you doing in her room?
I was rehearsing. I was trying to get into the character of a woman who was ransacking an old friend's room to try and find some money to buy some drink.
Oh, I see.
Anyway, underneath the Gideon's Quran by her bedside, I found this photograph.
Yes?
Well?
Well, what?
It's a picture of Prince Saudi.
So it is. Well, he's not going to be happy about this, is he? Look, his eyes are all red.
He's stark naked, Charlie.
Well, except for the woman draped over him.
That's Arabella, you fool!
So it is. Well, that's all very interesting, but I don't see where it gets us.
Just take it, Charlie.
Mr. Devere.
Quick, hide it. It's Prince Saudi's men.
Mr. Devere. You're under arrest.
But what possible charge?
Espionage, subversion, and conspiracy to overthrow Prince Saudi.
Fair enough. But how did you know?
This small boy with the beach ball told us everything.
But he's working for Mossad.
Wrong, Mr. Devere. He is a double agent working for us. And the beach ball was a directional microphone. You see, you British sneaky dickies are no match for the Arabi secret police. Or ASP, as we are known. ASP, you see. ASP. Like the snake. Do you have acronyms in your country?
You people think you're pretty smart, don't you? Well, if you spooks are so damned clever, how come neither of you have punched me in the kidneys yet?
Yes, but you haven't kicked me in the testicles, have you?
Gentlemen, this is the 09-30 100-hour crisis briefing today, presented jointly by Supreme United States Forces Commander Hank the Tank Buttsacker and the British Chief of Staff, Brigadier Jeremy. I'm only doing my job, De La Villiers.
Listen up. I have some bad news. There's still no war. So in the meantime, we're just holding out for the turkey shoot and praying for a fireworks show. Now let's take a look at the latest satellite pictures. As you will notice, there is a slight malfunction in the new satellite focusing system.
Why is that? General, why is that?
The instructions were in Japanese. We were hoping for detailed shots of Arabic troop placements, but what we have is Mr. and Mrs. Johnson's skiing vacation in Beaver Creek, Colorado. Next question.
Sir, is there any other intelligence you can give us, sir?
Yes, Mr. Johnson is a retired real estate salesman. He and his good lady wife are intermediate skiers, and as far as we know, they had an extremely enjoyable vacation.
Yes, sir.
The English journalist.
My liege, why stays the hand of all-conquering Jove when the carrion wait for the dogs of war to slip their leash and cry the trump of blood-gored battle?
Brigadier?
Well, we've got a job to do here, and that's very much what we're going to do. Thank you, gentlemen.
So, Mr. Devere, the tables are turned. The boot is on the other foot.
I'm sorry?
What a delicious irony this is. 40 years ago at Haileybury, I seem to remember you flushing my head down the school toilet. Now it is I, your former fag, who is doing the flushing.
Pull!
Please, I beg of you. I'll tell you everything.
Very well.
It was Percy Potter's idea. He talked me into it. He said, let's put the bellowing down above you and see if he blows.
I'm not interested in Fatty Potter, you idiot.
And that's a shame, because he's done quite well for himself. Now runs a big DIY superstore outside Luton.
I know you British are planning to discredit me, but I do not know what you know. And what you know is what I need to know. So, what do you know?
I know... But I don't know what you're talking about.
Do not underestimate me, Devere. I am like the scorpion under the desert rock.
Is that good or bad?
I appear harmless, but when provoked, I lash out with a deadly sting in my tail.
Bad, then.
I am conducting this interrogation, Devere. It is I who will squeeze secrets from you like pips from a lemon. It is I who will find out whether you have the vital photograph or not.
What photograph would that be?
I ask the questions here. I do not answer impertinent inquiries about the compromising photograph of myself and Lady Annabella. Do you understand?
I'm beginning to. So this photo is pretty important, then.
Silence! I am not so foolish as to spell out to you how, in this conservative religious society, the revelation of my affair with a divorced Western woman would give my cousin Faisal the opportunity to depose me. Oh, no, Mr. Devere, you do not catch me out so easily.
Obviously not. Well, if you've no further questions, I think we've pretty much covered all the ground.
This interview is over only when I say it is over. All right, it is over. You are a fool, Devere. You know nothing. Why did I even waste my time with you? What a sorry spectacle you are, Mr. Consul, with your soggy suit and your wet hair.
Yes, well, a suit's beyond repair, but not so my hair. Thanks to Spartos all-in-one shampoo and conditioner for men on the go, even the most badly damaged hair can be restored to its former life. And it's all down to the unique biotech follicle energizer.
Impressive. Anyway, guards, take him away and put him with the other prisoners on the refinery.
Help! Help!
Forget it, Cravat. It's not working.
That guard is bloody well going to come in here and give me medical assistance. I'm on Bupa.
Did you say Bupa? Oh, I had no idea. We'll be courteous to you from now on. Put on a clean uniform and serve smoked salmon instead of cockroaches.
What about a color television set?
Okay. I'll go and see what I can do. But it's extra. You mutthead, Cravat. You were meant to get him over here so I could overpower him. You can always be relied on to mess it up.
Oh, yes. So who messed up in court, eh? Floundering me was the biggest mistake you ever made.
Well, as I remember it, that wasn't the opinion of the members of the jury.
Members of the jury, the case before you involves two of the major figures of our time. The Right Honorable Foxwell Cravat, a gentleman, and the pushy, vulgar American tycoon, Max Pomeroy.
Objection, Your Honor.
You may be conducting your own case, Mr. Pomeroy, but may I remind you that this is not an episode of the popular television program, Peregrine Mason?
Don't patronize me, Your Lordship.
I got a master's degree in the law of the jungle at the University of the Ghetto. I may not know all the fancy Latin terms, but I do know what is right and what is wrong.
Well, that is hardly the concern of an English corporal.
What's going on, Sir Quentin?
We're all laughing at the judge's jokes in the hope that sucking up to him will sway his judgment.
Oh, see.
Thank you. The facts of this case could not be more simple. Mr. Pomeroy accused Mr. Cravat of cowardice. There can be no greater slur on the character of an Englishman. Unless perhaps one suggests that he is a homosexual or a member of a trade union. No. In my opinion, members of the jury, Mr. Cravat has already disproved the calumny of cowardice by turning up in court today.
A double objection. I refer you to Mazursky versus O'Rourke, 1964, when His Honor Harvey J. Jefferson was censured for judicial interference.
And where precisely was this, Mr. Pomeroy?
It was on Perry Mason.
No! Foxy, old boy, this one is in the bag. Pomeroy's hanging himself every time he opens his mouth. I'll put the champers in the fridge.
Very good. Court will now adjourn for lunch. Reconvene tomorrow morning.
Having defamed my client's reputation, may I remind you of your own reputation, Mr. Pomeroy? I put it to you that you deliberately and knowingly committed adultery with my client's wife, destroyed his business, and pursued a vendetta against him through your newspaper.
Yeah.
He's admitted the lot. It's all over.
But what was so pathetic was how easy it was. Like stealing candy from a baby. The guy is a wimp, a fink. Let's face it, he's a coward.
Objection, Your Honor.
On what grounds, Sir Quentin?
On the grounds that Pomeroy's argument is quite convincing and the jury look as though they're warming to him.
The objection sustained. Strike all Pomeroy's good bits from the record.
Don't worry, Foxy. We've still got our trump card. We'll get Charlie DeVere up on the stand and get him to tell that story about you fighting the lion and saving the child's life. That'll put an end to this cowardice nonsense,
and not before time.
I'd like to call a character witness for Mr. Cravat, his old friend from Cambridge. Now second secretary to the ambassador in Bolivia, Charles Ambrose Fortescue DeVere.
Call Charles Ambrose Fortescue DeVere.
Call Charles Ambrose Fortescue DeVere.
Call Carlos Ambrose Fortescue DeVere.
Coming.
Mr. DeVere, how good of you to come.
Not at all.
Now, do you, Charles DeVere, swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Don't be ridiculous. I'm in the Foreign Office.
Oh. Well, in that case, we can't really use your evidence.
Sorry, Foxwell.
For God's sake, Quentin, the case is slipping through our fingers. Relax, Foxwell. We're still ahead. Provided Pomeroy doesn't tug the jury's heartstrings with a big emotional number about his family background.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, let me tell you a story about a little orphan boy growing up in the ghettos of old Jewish American Harlem. This little fella had no shoes and only a rag doll for a friend. His name was Max Pomeroy.
Damn!
Imagine Christmas Eve, snow falling, a little face at the window of a sweet shop.
The jury have been out for 5 hours. Do you think Pomeroy's sentimental claptrap will have swayed them, Sir Quentin?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
It's just that story about old Grandma Pomeroy and a pickle famine really moves me.
Pull yourself together, Sir Quentin. Here comes the jury now.
Members of the jury, have you elected the foreman? I expect you've chosen the retired teacher with the beard.
Correct, my lord.
Now, do you find for Mr. Cravat or Mr. Pomeroy?
We find...
for Mr. Cravat.
Congratulations, Foxy, you've won!
And what damages do you award against Mr. Pomeroy to reflect the seriousness of the slander?
A farthing, my lord.
What? Here's your farthing, Foxwell. Here's your precious reputation.
I think I'll take that, Foxwell, as down payment on my fees.
I still won, Pomeroy. Do you hear me, everyone? I won. I won. Me. I won. I won. I won. I won. I won.
I won. I did.
Some victory. When you came out of court, the press were chanting cowardy custard. The leader of the Labour Party threw a custard pie in your face. The Prime Minister was so embarrassed, she dumped you in the Ministry of Trade instead of making you Chancellor.
I still won.
If you'd won, we wouldn't be here now, waiting to be flame-grilled on a giant oil-fired barbecue.
There's still some hope for us, as long as Charlie De Vere's on the outside.
In there, De Vere. Another prisoner to join you.
Hello, chap. Sorry about this. I hope you weren't counting on me to get you out.
Only completely.
Oh, that's all right, then. Oh, but there is one bit of positive news. Before I was arrested, I managed to get hold of this photograph, which I concealed in a secret compartment in my underpants. Here, take a look.
It's okay, De Vere. You hold it.
Oh, holy guacamole!
What? It's Arabella. And Saudi?
Yes. Making the old beast with two backs. If we can get this out of the country and published in the West, then Prince Saudi would be finished as a nabob forever.
Good God, De Vere, for what? You're right.
This is dynamite. Guard! Guard! There's a man here who's been seriously beaten up.
No, I haven't.
But you're about to be hit him, Cravat. Back to the escape plan.
What's all this?
Hey, stop assaulting the prisoner.
You leave me no alternative but to report you to Amnesty International. Now, let's have the Father Guard, Pomeroy, while he's busy drafting a stiff letter. Good work, Cravat. Get the keys. I want the jury.
Sorry about that, De Vere.
Yes, all right. I understand.
Come on, you two. There's no time to lose. The refinery is about to be hit by a stealth bomber.
Where?
Well, obviously you can't see it. It's very stealthy. The whole thing is going to blow. Run for it!
Will our heroes escape or be killed? Find out in Episode 5 of Gush, entitled The Escape. Gush was written by Ian Hislop and Nick Newman and starred Martin Jarvis as Foxwell Cravat, Mac McDonald as Max Pomeroy, Caroline Quentin as Iolanthe Diamond, Felicity Montague as Lady Arabella Derbyshire, Jonathan Coy as Charles Ambrose Fortescue DeVere, and also featured Julian Dutton, Toby Longworth, Steve Steen, John Sargent, and Peter Hobday. The producer was Colin Swush.